Welcome to Winning STL, where we have conversations about how St. Louis can best compete and win in the battle for talent, jobs, growth, and equity. Winning STL is presented by Purina, who creates richer lives for pets and the people who love them, and is proudly called St. Louis home since 1894. Joining me today is 9PBS President and CEO Amy Shaw, the first woman to lead the organization in its 70-plus year history. Amy, thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you so much, Ian.
So thank you so much for hosting at your beautiful studio. This is might be as close as I ever get to being on Donnybrook, so I want to soak it all in.
We might be able to arrange something. It is really, I always say that we're very fiscally responsible here at 9PBS. So this has been the set. It got a little bit of a glow up during the pandemic. But, you know, Donnybrook is this institution in St. Louis. It has the distinction of being the longest-running locally produced public affairs program in all of public television. So any other local show that's like a media roundtable is formed after Donnybrook. So, and the thing that I love about Donnybrook is that while people disagree vehemently, that group of journalists, they like each other and they respect each other.
They're
and
respectful of each other's opinions.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
So 9PBS, tell me why I think in your terms, it's kind of a big deal.
We're kind of a big deal.
Let's hear about that.
We're kind of a big deal. So we say that a lot. I tease our newer staff when they're hired. You know, you walk into a national meeting of PBS stations and people, the seas sort of part when St. Louis walks
That's
in.
Great.
We walk with swagger. And when I tell people that in St. Louis, they're like, really? That's so exciting. And part of it is our history. St. Louis created the model for community-licensed public television. I mean, isn't that extraordinary? They called it the St. Louis Plan. And the founders, who were this extraordinary group of civic, faith, cultural, education leaders, came together for this new idea of public television. This is in the 50s. The FCC said, would you do something with this? They put out a call to cities. St. Louis got this group together. They raised the money. And they said, yeah, we certainly could do something with it. So they created the St. Louis Plan, which was how would you create a community-licensed institution? So St. Louis, there's some mythology around this, but we're one of the earliest public television stations in the country. This is before there's even a PBS. But before this, there were no other community-licensed stations. They were all licensed to a university or a state or a school district. And the founders of 9PBS kind of read the tea leaves and said, you know, what we think is going to happen here is we want to make sure that there is an institution that is outside of control of government and is trusted and is independent and serves the needs of community. And especially for our needs, they thought, listen, there are education needs not being met in the St. Louis region. There are teachers we need for courses that kids don't have access to. Let's use TV as a means to teach those kids.
Which was new. This is right mid-50s.
Totally new.
This is early days.
Yeah, and so we go on the air in September of 1954. We created the model. We were going to be the first that was licensed to a community, but we couldn't raise the final $100,000 to get on the air, to get the license. And so Pittsburgh beat us to the punch. They took our plan and they did. And listen, that's fine. They've got Mr. Rogers and they're
that's
lovely.
Pretty good,
they're lovely.
Yes.
But, you know, we have this distinction of creating something that's a really big deal. And so any public television station that's licensed to a community is really founded after 9PBS. And so that's part of it. And then the founders ended up being very influential in the founding of PBS. So this is 1954. We go on the air. The Public Broadcasting Act of 1967, signed by Lyndon B. Johnson, is what creates the mechanism to create a PBS in 1970.
So,
they go
so
on the
more
air.
Than a decade pre-PBS, Channel 9 is doing its thing then. So you've given some of the reasons for that, maybe the rich history, maybe it's some of the quality of the local programming, maybe is what gives you that extra push, I wonder.
Yeah, I think so. The local piece is so important. Yes, local programming, and that's an area of real growth for us. I think that's more important than ever. You're in the business. You know, the media consumption habits of people across our community and across the world has changed so radically. Ownership has changed so radically. We're the only locally owned television station in St. Louis, and we're owned by the St. Louis community.
Right.
I also think how we've connected with community, we've created something called the Model for Community Engagement, and that is widely used by other public media organizations across the country. And it's a model that we developed based on how we think about listening to our community. And then we have this beautiful ability to create content and distribute content at scale so that more people can hear the steady drumbeat about what's really happening around an issue. And then we can analyze and assess what the impact of that work has been. And because we're not wed to a news cycle, we can keep that going over very long periods of time. And so there's really no end to our work. I like to say that we're on a superhighway towards a goal. We will never reach that goal because community is always evolving and changing. Sure. But I think now more than ever, there is a need to have an entity like 9PBS that can bring people together of divergent opinions to work together on a common goal. I think we've shown that over and over again. The pandemic is a great example. You know, we were all kind of caught off guard by this.
And you were brand new in your role.
I was brand new. I'd been CEO for a month.
And you've worked here since 2003, so yeah. This was familiar.
It was.
But the role was bigger
completely.
And different.
Right. So the pandemic comes, and my husband's in education, and we were watching what was happening with schools. We knew that schools were going to be closing down. We were invited to a Zoom that was with superintendents, curriculum directors of all the school districts around St. Louis. And we said, we have a feeling we can be helpful here. And they said, here's the deal. We're very concerned about young children. They're not used to learning online. We're really concerned about parents. They have no idea what they're in for in this pandemic. We're very concerned about math and reading, that those subjects are going to be the hardest. And we're really concerned about families that don't have access to high-quality broadband. And in the St. Louis City and County area, there's about 30% of households now today that don't have access to high-quality broadband.
Even still.
So, you know, teaching on Zoom is a great option, but if you don't have high-quality broadband, you're really left out of the equation. So they said, we know that Channel 9 went on the air to teach children via TV. Can you do that again? And we said, okay. So within a month, we created a show. It aired for 3 hours a day. It was with local teachers from across the St. Louis area, trusted local faces. We did auditions, and they taught on Zoom from their homes, would send in the files. We would edit them quickly and polish them up and then broadcast them every day.
Every day.
And we still do that show. It has now evolved to be focused on early childhood education.
So teaching in Room 9?
Teaching Room 9. And we got just so much mail from people who said, thank you. You got me through this time.
Well, of course, you never want a crisis, but sometimes through that crisis, some good things can come out of it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you innovated, you did something that had some legs to it that is still in place today. Maybe that wouldn't be there.
And I will say the time that we're in right now kind of makes COVID look a little easy. The federal funding crisis is real. The impact of cuts to federal funding across our community, we are looking at a real loss of federal funding, which in our case is 13% of our annual budget, which doesn't sound like that much. It's about $1.8 million. But you're also talking about a community that's being impacted everywhere. Everybody is seeing cuts. All of the major institutions are seeing cuts and destabilization.
Local corporate giving sometimes is down. So
the need is going to be greater and greater and greater. And so you're not enlarging the pie. You're just trying to slice the pie into smaller pieces. And I think one of the things that we do really well is we support other nonprofits by helping tell their stories and bringing people together to work on big issues. And our ability to do that is really severely impacted by loss of funding.
So, Amy, I'm a PBS fan. I like the work that you do. I like the work that PBS does. So I'm an easy one. If I was voting, I'd say this is a great idea. What would you say to people that are more skeptical?
Yep.
Maybe they don't watch it. How would you talk to those people?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ian, because it's true. It's, you know, I liken it to, you know, every great city has a great PBS station. You know, you may not watch it all the time, but in some way, shape, or form, you're impacted by it, whether you know it or not. So one of the easiest things to talk about is there are not enough resources for early education, and generations of children have been taught by public media. And we're talking the basics. It's critical skills that kids need to enter school ready to be successful and ultimately be successful throughout their educational career and be our future workforce in St. Louis. We directly impacted 27,000 kids in St. Louis alone last year with our direct services, working with partners like Parents as Teachers, Beyond Housing, the St. Louis County Library System. We don't do anything alone. We're working with them. And we're not doing duplicative things. We're doing things that are additive, and everybody's rising with that tide. That would be severely impacted. The other thing that a lot of people don't know about is safety. So the FEMA system, the FEMA backbone system, the emergency alert system, the wireless communication system, the redundancy is built on the PBS backend. So FEMA's system, if you can't get it via your cell phone, and we know cell phone towers are and transmitters are very impacted in natural disasters.
Sure, of course.
Broadcast towers are highly resilient, highly redundant. If FEMA's system doesn't work, it runs on our back end. And so you are still getting those emergency alerts. So there are real impacts.
This is an infrastructure play here.
It's an infrastructure play. And FEMA is impacted as well at the federal level right now. So that backbone system is critically important. And then the third piece is this community connection piece, our ability to bring people together to talk about big issues and work on big issues and then create the content that helps people understand them and to work towards a flourishing St. Louis region. All of those things are impacted. So much of our work is about the human capital. That's our biggest expense. But it's also the technology, our ability to, you know, pay the electric bill, to keep the transmitter going. All of these things are getting more and more expensive. But for you as a viewer, there's also this piece of the national system. If there are not additional dollars to create Nova or Frontline or the PBS kids shows, more pressure is being put on us to create more local content. And while we want to create more local content, it'll be at a time where there's fewer and fewer resources to do that. So I liken it to pulling a thread in a sweater, and things start to unravel.
Sure.
And so PBS was created as this fundamentally American institution to serve the information needs, to serve the public safety needs, the community connection needs, the education needs, and for $1.60 a day per citizen. That's the federal funding that goes to public broadcasters. That's radio and television. It's a very, very small investment.
So, Amy, I want to ask you, in this region, what's working? Because it would be a real miss to do something well, to not recognize it, and not to keep doing it or to do more of it. Are there things that meet that criteria to you?
I think it's about celebrating our assets, and I think we've gotten better at some of these things, like food. St. Louis has great food. Cultural institutions. You know, we back up to the Sheldon here. We back up to the Contemporary Art Museum, to the Pulitzer. We have great relationships with the zoo, with the art museum, with the history museum, botanical garden. How do we all work together? And I think that's something that when we put aside our own self-interest and think about a common goal, we have been successful. The idea of bringing a soccer team to St. Louis was a moment that everybody said, it's failed before, we're not going to. And you go to a soccer game in St. Louis, it's the most extraordinary place to be because it is like a church that brings everybody together. We're known as a great sports city. I don't think we have to be just a great sports city. But I think that's a great example of something that came from nothing.
So that's a great segue to what would you like to see political, business leaders, community leaders come together and prioritize?
There's no one answer. And I think there is a lot of unpopular opinions around this. I think we have a lot of infrastructure that needs to be combined. I think city and county separately are really challenging.
I think off the record, most people
do.
Most political business leaders will acknowledge that. They don't know how to necessarily bridge that.
Education, we have all these pockets of great education and we have pockets of huge challenge. We know how to solve this, and if we really wanted to solve it, we could. If we really were thinking about what's good for our youngest and most vulnerable, we would be creating environments that are good for everybody and would grow our region. I think the things we need to put aside are egos, terms in office. You know, people are thinking about re-election all the time, and I get it. I've never been in public office, so I haven't had to worry about that. But the more that we can really be working towards common goals.
All right. To wrap this up on a lighter note, you have some of your peers that might come into St. Louis for events. You had some international professionals that were in town. Where would you take people to show them St. Louis kind of at our best? What would you do?
One is food. So we're gonna go to Balkan Treat Box.
Nice.
We'd go to Forest Park. We'd go to the History Museum. We'd go to the Art Museum. We'd go to the Botanical Garden because this is the time of year to do all those things.
All those things, yeah.
the Muni in the summertime, I think, is a quintessential experience, especially still the free seats. Yep. Like Grace Meet and Three in the Grove.
Hope your guests brought their appetite for this trip.
I hope so. Yeah, we're going to eat a lot. We're going to go to baseball, hockey, football, soccer. We're going to do it all because I think you get to see unity in St. Louis and unbridled joy of people being together and rallying around something for that moment. We just need to bottle and sell it for the future. And that the people, like I said, you got to go to the Contemporary Art Museum and meet Lisa Melandry, who's extraordinary and amazing. And so it's like the amazing people that I want them to meet. But that's just a start. And the bad news is invariably...
You're just getting going on this big weekend.
But you invariably leave people out. So I wouldn't want to leave people out. But I also, like, you got to go to Union Loafers. Great food, great people, and great public infrastructure and great parks. Hiking... art.
Here's what I love about your answer, Amy. You could not contain yourself.
The authenticity
of your answer is coming through.
One more thing. You're going to take a tour of the Fox Theater, the windows on Washington, the murals, and also go get a cup of coffee at the Hilo because you feel like you're in Brooklyn. You're going to stop by Turn and have lunch, too, because they're great music and great food. Yeah.
Who knew it would have been easier to ask, where would you not take them?
It's a hard one.
Listen, thank you so much. I really appreciate your point of view. I think it's been very interesting to hear, especially at this moment in time, as you talked about. So I'm a fan. I love
Thanks.
The work that you do.
Same.
Thank you for having us today.
Thanks for coming to 9 PBS. Really appreciate it, Ian.
Same.
Thank you.